of the class you've ever done.
Is that right?
I'm a nova.
I can tell because you sound like children at the end of the term. You're about to go home. Class is over. You can go home. Well, praise the Lord. We've come to our last evening, and I want to talk to you tonight from Matthew chapter 7. And we've looked at, over the week, we've looked at Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And Matthew 7 has many themes. But I want to bring out the theme of the Day of Judgment. Because this chapter tells me how I can have confidence in the Day of Judgment. That's wonderful, isn't it? Now, I've never been taken to court before. I shouldn't ask you whether you've been to court before. Vicky's never, she's a good girl. Did you ever see speeding fine ever? Never speeded in a car. Well, she was never caught.
Too fast.
I saw her speed. We're not surprised.
Four times.
Well, I lived for some time in Singapore. Did you know that in Singapore it's a crime to chew chewing gum?
Singapore,
I can see some of you. Yes, I saw you. Praise God, this is
Singapore.
So if you go to Singapore, don't take your chewing gum, okay? But you see, if you went to Singapore and you didn't know, you could say to the policeman, I didn't know. And that's a good thing, I didn't know. But you see, the Bible says that in our hearts we do know. The Bible says we know the Ten Commandments in our hearts. If you look at verse 12,
Chapter 7, verse 12.
Now, everybody here knows what I want people to do to me, don't you? No, we all
know.
I don't want you to steal from me. I don't want you to hurt me. I don't want you to kill me. I don't want that. The Bible says we all know that. So when we do that to somebody else, when we steal or lie, we know it's wrong. But we all know what's wrong. But here now we have the question: how will God judge the world? I need to get ready. And I need a good lawyer.
Amen.
You need a good lawyer. The Bible says Jesus is my lawyer. Amen. He is the one who pleads before the throne of God.
And
the word God uses for Jesus is lawyer. That's in 1 John 2:1. But anyway, we leave that. So here we've got this chapter. Now I want to bring out some points about the Day of Judgment. You can read from
verse 24 to verse 29. Jesus,
thank you. And there, in those verses, the Day of Judgment is described as a storm coming on the world. You see, these people were building their houses, one this way, one that way, and it was probably a nice, beautiful day like today. But a day was coming. It would test the foundations of every house. Jesus said, if you build on the rock, that's because you do what I say. You have to obey Jesus if you build on the rock. Now, I know that we are not perfect. We can't do everything that he says perfectly. But we have to cooperate with
Jesus.
And that's really how we prepare for the Day of Judgment. We cooperate with
Jesus.
We do what he says. Well, then, let's go to verse 1 and 2.
1 and 2. Asisini na mangijutik saksiyo ni agasi. Na mangijutik saksiyo kunasi.
He says, don't you judge people, or you will be judged with the same judgment. You know, this is a very simple thing. He's talking about the Day of Judgment. If you want to start to avoid the day of judgment, you have to stop judging people. That's a simple thing, isn't it? What does he mean? You know this truth that when you point the finger, there are always three fingers pointing back at you. You see that? Look at that bad man. Who am I pointing at?
Me.
Look at that bad. And one finger going up. Look at that bad man. Blame God, blame people, it's you who is guilty. Blame the government. Blame the church. My father. My husband, my wife, my children. Oh no, it's not them. It's you. If you want the secret of a happy life, it's become a happy person. That's not very obvious, isn't it? Be a happy person. The source of joy must be in your soul. But you see, when you look at people's problems, what you are saying is that you don't do those things. And the truth is, we all are sinners. We all need grace. And if God is going to do a work, he must begin with me. Revival doesn't start with the government or with somebody out there, it starts with me. And when I see how bad I am, I will never condemn anybody again. Christianity is not condemning people. It is offering them a way out. Amen. It's not bad news, it's good news. Hallelujah. We've got good news tonight. You know, let me tell you a story from America. There was a man, this is about 20 years ago. His name was Jim Bakker. Anybody heard of Jim Bakker?
Jim Bakker.
You've heard of Jim Bakker. Well, he had a radio show and a television show. And millions of people watched his TV. Every day on the God Channel, they watch Jim Bakker, fantastic. And he had millions of people watching him. So he could say, oh, he said, I need $20 from everybody to keep my ministry going. Now he had millions of viewers. So if only 50% or 20% gave him $20. He could get a lot of money. Well, one day, The American government came to his house.
Gold taps on his
bathroom.
And
they arrested him. They looked into all his books. And they said, "You bad man, we send you to prison for 40 years. Is that good? Well, now some people were very, didn't like him, they were jealous of him, so they said, good. Well, he went to prison. And many people were happy. But one man, Billy Graham, began to visit him in prison. And began to be a friend of this sinner. And to talk to him and pray with him. Jim Bakker found Christ in prison. When he came out, he went to a conference. Billy Graham was speaking, he was sitting on a very big chair up at the front. Jim Bakker went to sit among the crowd, thousands of people. But nobody wanted to sit next to Jim Bakker. He'd been a bad man, he'd been to prison. We don't want anything to do with
him.
So Billy Graham got off his big seat. And went down and sat next to him.
And
said, "I'm a friend of Jim Bakker." Yeah. Why is that important? Because Billy Graham knew in his heart, it's only the grace of God that makes me a better man. You ought to be a better man, a better woman. But it's God's grace that makes you better. You see, all those people, they condemned Jim Bakker. Oh, look at that bad man. But in their hearts, they needed grace. So Jesus said, "Don't judge people. Don't judge people. You need mercy. Pray for mercy. And then we also read here that Jesus said in verse 7, you can read in verse 7 to verse 12. So you know we finished in verse 12, which tells us We know what we want men to do to us. You do that to them. But how? How can you do that? Well, Jesus said three things: ask, seek, and knock.
Jesus said, "Okang man, apiri lutit, kinyot lutit, amakasuk tong lutit."
You see, he said, first of all, ask because eternal life is a gift.
Si bulang may okang si mang man, ati apiri gitan na inyo sa inyong usitok isukang itumong.
Give me a book.
Hey.
Give me a book. You can translate me. Give me a book.
Tinagawa na kahit dilaw.
Oh, give me. Thank you.
Koyan na mi.
It's a gift.
Dan na tun na kusetya var.
Jesus said, "Ask, it will be given you."
Jesus said, "Okong man, ati dilaw ka tun na dilaw na."
Seek.
Kinilaw ka.
Seek. And you will find.
Nani sinya ka bit?
So it's a gift and it's a discovery.
Tun na kusetya ng dunay aman na sinya dunay.
It's an exploration, and you find another world.
Amma kenyong niyong man nani sinyo bruno yung utabi niyong nami.
And then he said, "Knock."
Kasuktok do tido.
And the door will open.
Amma pa matuong niyato.
So eternal life is a gift, a discovery, and a door into another world.
Dani inusok isok ang itimo.
Jesus said, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and you will discover.
Jesus said,
and God will give you the power to be a better person. All you have to do is ask. God will help you. You see, tonight we are looking at what do we do to go on with God. Look at verse 13 and 14.
Ako tingal ng piyang nagturuli. Amin sudutap taman na atok pa. Isa bigi nirukit yung mga inyo sa nung usuit yung matuka ngayon. Ako tingal ng piyang ning ituruli. Amin siyong ituruli taman na naniba.
Oh, so this is a description now of eternal life. It's a narrow gate.
Tana tabanaro na sa simadong milyok tana inyo sa unta. Ako.
You know, if I said tonight we're all going to climb
through
the door, would you get through that door? I think you'd all get through. But some people in the world would have to go on a slimming course. Nobody here, you're all right. But Jesus said the door is very narrow. We once went to a canyon in Egypt.
Or
was it a canyon? What's a canyon?
I don't know.
A valley.
A valley. I've never seen a valley.
You've got a valley all over the place. A gully.
But not a narrow one.
Exactly.
Okay, and it got narrower and narrower. Ooh, and I had to squeeze through it. Jesus says, the gate to eternal life is narrow. And when you get through, it doesn't go broader, it stays narrow. Oh, and you know the narrow gate is the cross. Where you lose all your burdens and you bow down. You see, if I was carrying But I was carrying a big, heavy suitcase. I think I could climb through here. I think I could do it. I think I could do it. Do you think I could do it? I'm not going to do it. Don't worry. I think I could get there, but my suitcase... I can't get my suitcase. You see, eternal life is like a man who falls in the sea and he's holding a bag of gold.
Like a what?
A man who falls in the sea. He's holding a bag of gold. He has to make a choice. Does he let go the gold? And be saved? Or hold on to the gold? And die. It's a narrow gate. You have to let go your life. So Jesus is beginning to build up the picture of judgment. We're coming to the day of judgment. Then in verse 21 and 23, he gives us the key. 21
to 23,
he gives us the key. Look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. I preached in Arctic Bay. Is that a good reason to accept me on the day of judgment? I prayed for sick people, some were healed. Is that a good reason to be accepted? I cast out demons. Is that a good reason to be accepted? I prophesied. Is that a good reason to be accepted? No. What's a good reason to be accepted? In verse 23, he said to those people, I never knew you. So what's a good reason to be accepted?
To know
Jesus. To know
Jesus.
To know Jesus.
To know
Jesus. In fact, it's the only reason.
It's
to know Jesus. What does it mean to know Jesus? We can seek, we can ask, we can knock, we will know Jesus. We can stop judging people, confess our sins, then we will know Jesus. We can we can let go of things in order to know Him. You see, this is the most important thing of all, is to know
Jesus.
You know, what it really means is we are to make friends with Jesus. To make friends with Jesus. You know, I've been to many countries. When I go to a country, I normally ask very carefully, do I get a visa? You know why? Because if you don't get a visa, they send you back. When I went to China, I didn't have a visa. I flew right to the center of China. I landed at the airport. They said, have you got a visa? I said, no. I wanted to get a visa here when I arrived. They said, sorry, we don't give visas here at the airport. They took me out. Picked up my suitcase, took me back into the airport, checked me into the next flight, and said goodbye. Get out, they said. I didn't have a visa. Can you imagine arriving at the door of heaven? On the day of judgment. When you die, you get to the door of heaven. And they say, have you got a visa? And then you say, what's the visa? It's too late to ask at the door of heaven. What's the visa? How do I get in? They say, here's the visa. Do you know anybody in heaven? Does anybody in heaven know you? You think, well, my aunt Christine was a Christian. And they say, well, she's not in charge here. She's not the Lord of heaven. Well, my father was a pastor. Yeah, but he's not the Lord of heaven. My uncle was a bishop. But that doesn't mean he's not the Lord of heaven. What about Jesus?
Oh,
you know Jesus?
How do you know Jesus?
Yes. Jesus! There's a man here. He says he knows you. Who's that, says Jesus? It's Les Wheeldon.
Les Wheeldon, what you done?
Oh, yes, Les is my friend. Come on in, Les. Come on in. You see, I went to the Congo in Africa. It's a country in Africa. War in that country. Never been there before. And I got down from the plane while I was there. There were rockets over the city.
Soldiers
everywhere. And when I came down from the plane, I was a bit nervous. Trying to look happy and and as I was walking across to the terminal, I saw somebody with a big banner. Welcome, Pastor Les. Welcome, Pastor Les Wheeldon. Hallelujah! Yes, I saw that. I was happy. They took me to the VIP lounge. They took away my passport. They said, just sit there, we'll sort out everything. They gave me a Coca-Cola. I sat in a big armchair. I was welcome like a king. Why? Because I had a friend. He was an important man in the airport. Amen. Now I went to a country called Abkhazia. You know where Abkhazia is, don't you? Oh, Mary. Mary. She doesn't know where Abkhazia is. You don't know Abkhazia. I have to teach you geography next time I come. Our team was going to see the president. So when we got to the border, he sent about 5 big black cars for us. With about 20 policemen. So when we got to the border, they saluted us. Welcome! Open the door of a big black car. And off we went into Abkhazia. The policeman was stopping everybody on the right and the left. A big man has come. Make sure you get this right. A big man has come. Who is it? Who is it?
Inova. Inova.
Les Wilden.
In the Les Wilden.
Why is he so important?
He's
a friend of the president. That's what made me important. I was a friend of the president. Now if I arrive into America, no visa. And they say, do you know anybody here? I know Stephen Harper. President Obama. I know President Obama. Oh, you know Obama? Oh, yes, come in, sir. Come in. They phoned President Obama. Do you know Les
Wilden?
What was he saying? You see, this is the most important thing. Do you know Jesus? Does Jesus know you?
How you Jesus? Jesus, how you?
Now you see, if I say, does your husband know you? Does your wife know you? Does your father know you? Some women would say, I don't know my husband. Been my husband for 30, 40 years, but I don't understand
him.
He doesn't tell me what's in his heart. His heart.
This is your Roman.
He's cold. He's very secret. He has no friends. There are people like that. But you see, when you know somebody, what is the mark that you know them? What is the way you get to know somebody? You tell them about you. You tell them secret things about you. And you could say, well, Jesus knows everybody. Isn't he the friend of everybody? Jesus said, I don't know these people.
Jesus, they haven't
talked to me about their heart. They don't know. They don't open their hearts to me. When you open your heart to Jesus, you begin to cry. You tell him about the things of your childhood, of your life, of the things that went
wrong.
You tell him about your guilt, your shame. And I'll tell you what is surprising. When you finish, you see Jesus is crying. He's crying. He loves you. I'll tell you two more stories. This is a story about a man from New York. He was in the mafia. And his father was a mafia man. He was brought up in that way. And he became a criminal, he became a hard man. And this man went down to Florida. And he kind of retired there very early in his 40s. He was retiring. He was a miserable man. And one day he said, I'm going to commit suicide. And he took a gun to kill himself. And he said, oh God, you're useless, you're powerless. You can't even stop me committing suicide. And at that moment, the phone rang. He answered the phone. It was a Christian. And he said, look, he said, I want to invite you to come to our church. And they talked. And he agreed to go. He forgot that God had stopped him committing suicide. He went to this church. It was not as nice as this beautiful hall. And all the people were so happy. And he looked at them and he thought, they must have money hidden under the floor. Nobody could be happy in a house like this. So, at the end of the service, he was going out. And the pastor was there. Now, this man, since he was a child, had never received any affection. No, his father had never hugged him. Mother had never hugged him. And this pastor hugged him. And he said, stop it. Nobody touches me, he said. Don't touch me. And the pastor said, when I look at you, I see a little boy. Who's crying out for love. You're crying out for love. He became angry. Went away. Then he decided, I will go and see that pastor. And I will hit him. So he rang the pastor, went to see the pastor. When they sat down, the love of God touched that man's heart. And instead of hitting the pastor, he just began to open his heart and to tell the pastor about his heart's problems. But when he started, he couldn't stop. And he was down on his knees, weeping and weeping. When he stopped, there was the pastor weeping with him. And when he wept and wept, Jesus gave him a new heart. Well, he was a mafia man. So he had to go to the police. Because he'd become a friend of Jesus. He went to the police. And he was sent to court. He was sent to prison. When I heard him speak in Singapore, he served his time in prison, and now he was going round witnessing
for Jesus.
He was an enemy of Jesus, but he became a friend of Jesus. Let me tell you one more story, then we'll finish. This is just a story of an illustration. This is a story that, let's say, it happened in Ottawa. Let's say there was a man down there, he was a rich man. And he got one only son. But sadly, his wife died in childbirth. So he brought up that son on his own. That man loved his son so much. He was a busy man. So as the boy grew up, there was a gardener. As the boy grew up, there was a gardener who became his best friend. And the gardener used to play with him, and they used to do all kinds of things in the garden. They became very close friends. And then one day, this rich man, he had a hobby, painting. So he painted a picture of his son. And he took a lot of time over it. It wasn't very good, but he took a lot of time. So when he finished it, he put it in the central place. He put it in the most important place in his home. And he looked at his son, he loved that picture. But then tragedy struck, his son grew sick and died. And so he was broken hearted. And it was only a short time after that that he died. And he had no heirs. He was a rich man with a big house and a big car. Who will get everything? Nobody knew.
Huh?
Nobody knew who would get it. So on the day of the funeral, lots and lots of relatives came to the funeral hoping to get it. Oh, they were distant relatives. People came, they wanted to. They were all crying, but they weren't crying for sorrow. Secretly, they were hoping they would get some of the money. In Africa, if you go to a funeral, you put pepper in your pocket to make sure you cry. In Africa, everybody has to cry. Anyway, they all cried. And afterwards, they went to the to hear the reading of the will. And the lawyer came and opened the will. And he said, the first thing I want to do is to ask who wants this picture of the son. Everybody was silent. Somebody said, it's rubbish. Nobody wants that. Then somebody said, we don't want to know about the picture. Who gets the house? Oh, he said, no, let me finish with the picture. The gardener was at the back.
He said,
may I have the picture? I love that boy. We were friends. I love that boy. One lady at the front said, give him the picture quickly. So they gave him the picture. And then the lawyer said, that's finished now. It's all closed now, so we can close everything now, it's all finished. What do you mean? Oh, he said, the man said, if anybody wants the picture, they can have everything. Ah, then that lady said, I want the picture, I want the picture. But the lawyer said, it's too late. You want the picture for the wrong motive. That man said, if you love my son, you can have everything. Do you know what God has said? God has said, the key to heaven is Jesus. So I'm not asking you, do you want to go to heaven? No. I'm asking you, do you love Jesus? Do you want Jesus? Will you make friends with
Jesus?
Will you do what that mafia boss did and tell him all your heart? Go alone with Jesus. He'll break your heart, melt it. You'll weep, you'll cry, and you'll become friends with Jesus. And where do you go from tonight? Where do you go after this? Every day. I know. We could say read your Bible and pray. That's good. But don't just read your Bible and pray every day.
Do something more.
When you read your Bible and you pray, look for Jesus.
Jesus
look for his presence.
Amen.
I won't go to heaven because I know the Bible.
Hey?
I won't go to heaven because I know the Bible. I will not go to heaven because I know the Bible. I will not go to heaven because I pray. I will go to heaven because I love
Jesus.
Every day I want that presence. If I'm not right with him, there is no joy in life. If my conscience condemns me, I can't live.
If
I'm not right with my wife, I can't pray to Jesus.
If I
told a lie, I have to put it right because it's a barrier between me and Jesus. One important thing in your life, on the day of judgment, it's the only thing. Jesus! Do you know this person? Hallelujah. He'll say, yes, I know that one. I know them. Yes, I know them. I know him. I know her. They love me. They open their hearts to me. They walk with me. They talk with me. I know them and they know me. We are friends. We love each other. Hallelujah. This is the day of judgment. But today is the day of grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's come to make friends with us. He's come to bless us and to change our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Every eye closed. Come, let's pray. And you can pray to Jesus now. Just say to him in your heart. Tell him the truth of your heart. Ask him, be my friend, Jesus. Forgive my sins. If you've sinned against your wife, ask her forgiveness. You've sinned against your husband, ask his forgiveness. Your children or your parents,
or
your workplace, or your whoever it is, put things right. And be a friend of Jesus. Clear your conscience now. He will forgive everything. He will be a friend. Jesus.
Jesus.
We open our lives to you. We open our lives to you, Jesus. Touch us with your love.
Oh,
let our consciences be washed in your presence. Refresh our soul. Break the power of things that hold us. Break the hardness of heart.
Yes.
Oh, break the hardness. Oh, God wants to break that hardness. You have been a hard person. Tonight you can become a loving person. Hallelujah, hallelujah, do it now. Become a loving person now. Become a friend of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We receive your love, Jesus. We receive your touch. Your grace, your kindness.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now there's time to pray if you want to pray. You can pray right now all together. Pray to the Lord.